You ever hear of Bill Gates?
So you can
make money. He has a little bit of money, yeah? Imagine he comes to you and says, I want to go into business with you. Become partners. Let's meet 3 weeks. I want to produce with you bookcases. Okay. So you, what is this? Oh, Bill Gates. It's important. You prepare. You do some research. You figure out exactly what you need to know about the shelves that you're going to manufacture with Bill Gates. You get your nice suit. You go to the cleaners. You put on a tie. You go to sleep early the night before. You get ready. It's an important meeting, right? And when the day of the meeting comes, so you're all excited, and you come into the meeting. And, why? Because Bill Gates has money. Is he a good person? I don't know. Is he a nice person? I don't know. But he has money. So we get excited. Potential. I once had a group. I had a day camp. Remember that camp? So, the camp was in the summer for 2 months. And I told the group that then Bill Clinton was president. Bill Clinton was coming to the area, and he sent word to the different schools, the different organizations, that he wants to interview different children to see how the school systems throughout the country are working. So I told them that if they don't mind, we'll send in a description of our camp. Maybe he'll meet with us. So they said, yeah, good idea, fine. We send it in, we get a response. We're in the group. We're one of the groups he's considering to meet. He's not sure yet, but within that area, within that state, there were 50 groups, and we were one of the 50 that might meet him. They'll let us know in a month. Okay. Month passes, we get a letter, we're one of the groups. 2 weeks' time, he's going to meet our group. I told the guys, we also got a letter with it, said Bill Clinton really appreciates that the people are, that the kids are going to meet with him. So he said if there are any children that have a special thing that they want, they should tell him. He has a person who takes care of it. If someone has a relative that's very sick and they need to get special medical treatment, his people take care of it. If someone has parents have a problem thing for the house or different problems, he has people who take care of things, right? He doesn't do it himself. He said his top executive who takes care of all this, he's going to be coming with him. And we'll meet with him. Whoever needs something, they should prepare. So the kids go home, they're very excited, they tell their parents, they start writing, this one needs to get into this hospital, this one needs to get into this college, and what each one needs, they put together a list. We come near the day, we get another letter. This is, give us a cell phone number, we're going to contact you. We have to set up the time, the date, and you're not allowed to tell anyone where it is, because the Secret Service has to watch to make sure that no one tries to harm the president. We're holding 5 days before the meeting, and they tell us, okay, be prepared, but all the children have to go through security, so we don't want to detain the president, he's only going to be in for an hour. You guys have to come at 5 o'clock in the morning. 5 o'clock in the morning, we'll put everyone through security, and after we put everyone through security, then you'll wait until the president can see it. So, I tell the kids, yeah, fine, they're all excited. We order a van, and comes the exciting morning. All the kids come, dressed in suit and tie and ready. And I come with the van. We pick up each one. Each one has a list from their parents. They put together what they want to discuss with Bill Clinton. And we start driving, and the cell phone rings. It's 4:45. We're headed to the place they told me. And they say, sir, we regret to tell you that Mr. Clinton had to have a change of plans. He had he's not even in the state anymore, but he appreciates the kids got up early, they came to meet with him. So he said he's going to let you speak to the one who's in charge of taking care of everything that, all the things that they thought they could ask him. So those things he'll take care of. They won't get to meet him, but those things he will take care of. So I told the guys that. And of course they were a little bit disappointed. And then we drove and we drove, and I drove up to Shul, to the Nates Minyan, to Daven Nates. So you guys know what Nates is? To Daven Vatikin, to Daven with the sunrise. It's a special minyan that Daven's exactly the earliest time we put. And the guys looked at me and they said, "What's this?" So I said, "Well, who can give you everything you want? Bill Clinton can get you a doctor, but who said the doctor will help? Who could really give us what we want? When we stand and we daven, we stand in prayer, so we forget who we're talking to. We have to start by, when we prepare for davening, thinking where we're going. And in everything we do, if you recall, truth, you know what I mean? In everything we do, the preparation, the excitement that a person puts into it, that is going to play out how he does it. Now, this isn't only relevant to us ourselves, it's also relevant to our children. Imagine a guy takes his tefillin bag in front of his kids. And he puts it down after prayer. What message does he give his kids? What message does he give himself? A lot of people give a kiss to a tefillin. And their mind isn't even there. The way we treat a mitzvah automatically affects ourselves and our children, our families, Bezalel Hashem, in the future. When you see, one of the things I like seeing is, there's a rabbi who I like to see how he dominates. You should see the way he carries a sefer. He holds it. The way he holds a siddur. He turns the pages gently, softly. When a person treats it with respect, that's the first step. Preparation, respect. How do we show up to shul? Do we show up 10 minutes after the time, or do we show up 10 minutes before? Do we show up like, I don't know, I'm really sticking my shirt in? Or do we show up beforehand and we're there ready and we're prepared? Chazal said, when a person comes to pray, a person is supposed to come early. And this makes all the difference in the world. So that's the difference. How we approach it? Where's our heart? So step number one is our approach. To be there on time. Now, you wanted us to discuss Shmoneh Esrei, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to discuss the understanding of what Shmoneh Esrei, what the words mean? What do you want us to discuss within Shmoneh Esrei?
The words also, and like the commonality of food, what to think.
Okay. What do you want us to discuss? What is it? David? Okay. So let's begin by understanding what Shmoneh Esrei is. Technically, every Jew has to pray every day. We have a mitzvah every day. Hashem says we should pray before it. Hashem doesn't say what we should say. Came along the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. You heard of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? The men of the great assembly, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? Ezra? No?
Ezra, no.
What? Ezra? No?
And Nehemiah, and they brought the Jews back
to Israel. Right. So Ezra and Nehemiah brought the Jews back to Israel. When Ezra came to Israel, the Jews were doing business in Jabez, and they were married to Goyim. And then Ezra came and said, "You're not allowed to do that." So the Jews said, "Show us, we're in the Torah that say you're not allowed to do it." And Ezra saw that the Jews, they weren't keeping the Torah the way they should. So Ezra instituted many things. One of the things he instituted was Shmoneh Esrei. Ezra said, not everyone knows how to compose their own prayer. If we had to compose our own prayer, what would we compose? So let's start with this. Let's take out pieces of paper. Every one of you compose your own prayer. Think for a minute. What would you say? A couple. You have paper, you guys have tables here. Write your own prayer. I don't have to read it. You'll read it. Now compose the pens. Do you have pens? We'll go get pens for a second.
You could compose it in any language. I don't care. Pencil. I should just tell you, we're doing it as a practice exercise. I do it often, not as practice, for real. I stop and ask myself, what do I want to ask of them? And I write it for myself. Yeah, are we ready? Do you want to share with us what you wrote?
Huh?
Do you want to share with us?
Do you know really? Is it
good for the one or the
No.
David, yeah? No?
Okay.
Do you want to share with us what you wrote? No?
No.
Okay. So, let's begin. Moshe, you want to share? Yeah?
Hashem, I want to thank you for everything that I have, for my health, my family, my friends, for providing me a chance to be here in Israel and here. Please forgive me, Akash, for a hoop, for not to behave the way I should, and please help me to overcome my Yetzirah. Please provide health and peace to myself and my family.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so let's begin. Who are we to talk about? Think about it. So we begin our prayer with a sentence. Hashem, sefatai tiftach. Hashem, you open my lips. If we only stop and think for a minute, we realize, wait a second, I'm talking to God. So we begin our prayer with Hashem, sefatai tiftach. Hashem, open my lips. And then my mouth will say four words, your praise. Now, whenever we approach things in Judaism, we have to remember, the world doesn't begin with us, and the world doesn't end with us. We begin Shmona Esrei, we discuss the fact that Hashem is the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And Hashem protected them, and Hashem protects us. And that is the first blessing. Hashem, Elokeinu Elokei Avtenu, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov. Hashem is the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Hakel, and we give praise. Just like you said, you began your prayer with thanks. Chazal said, whenever we begin a prayer, we have to begin with praise. I recognize I'm standing before God, so I begin with praise. Yeah? Clear?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanking, giving thanks is not a way of praising. Also.
It's a little different. It is a way of praising. Okay, so we say, do we understand the first blessing or should we explain it? Oh, that's the one I wanted to talk about. Gomel chasadim tovim. Hashem does good acts of kindness. We could sometimes do an act of kindness and it isn't good. A guy asks you, do me a favor, bring me the suitcase from the airport. You bring him the suitcase, he opens it up, it's filled with cigarettes. Did you do a good act of kindness or a bad act of kindness? You did an act of kindness, you brought him the suitcase. Was it good or not? We don't always know whether the acts of kindness we do are really good or not. So we say Hashem, He's Gomel Chasadim Tovim. He does acts of chesed that are tov. Not every chesed is tov. V'kone akol, Hashem kone could mean to purchase. Connected also means to create. Right. Hashem created everything. V'zocher chasdei avot. Hashem remembers the kindness of the forefathers. Because sometimes I don't have a right on my own. Sometimes we can't come with our own claim. When the Jews were in Mitzrayim, were they good enough to deserve to be taken out? No. They were taken out because of chasdei avot. Because Hashem remembers the good deeds of our forefathers. And Hashem uses that for us too. So a person should never feel alone. We begin prayer, I'm a part of a chain. I'm not alone. Wherever I am, I'm not alone. Gilad Shalit in prison is not alone. He's not alone. Aside from that fact that we're all thinking of him. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are also thinking of him. And we begin our tefillah with that connection to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Umevi goel ibnei bneim leman shemo be'ava. Hashem redeems their children, their grandchildren, leman shemo. What? Oh, leman shemo is for the sake of Hashem's name. Meaning sometimes we had the Jewish people in Mitzrayim. They didn't deserve to be taken out of Mitzrayim. Hashem said, stop serving idols. They didn't listen. In Mitzrayim they continued serving idols. Hashem said, okay, I'll do it for my name, for my sake. Sometimes we don't deserve it. Leman shemo be'ahava. Hashem treats us with love. Sometimes when you do something and someone doesn't deserve it, they say, okay, I'll do it. You don't deserve it, but I'll do it. Your roommate says, could you get up and shut the light? I got up and shut the light yesterday, man. I swear, you get up and... Okay, I'll go shut the light. Do you do it be'ahava or not? When we approach tefillah, we're approaching Hashem on the level of a father, on the level of a king, on the level of God. But we always have the level of Hashem who is Avinu Malkeinu. He's not just Malkeinu, our God, our king, he's also Avinu, our father. And that's why Hashem does it be'ahava. Even when we don't deserve it. Hashem is Melech, Ozer, he helps. Moshiach saves a person, Umagin, and protects him not to enter the situation. Ozer, Hashem helps us. Sometimes a person just starts falling, you help him, he doesn't fall. Sometimes a person fell all the way, Hashem is Moshiach. And then we end and say Hashem is Magin, protects. We don't know how many things sometimes I was once in a hospital. And I'm a Mohed. Do Brit Milah. So we did Brit Milah for an adult. As we do the Brit, drop of blood squirted into my eye. So I asked to see his medical records. I said, you know, I got some blood from him. So they told me he has hepatitis B. They don't have any cure for hepatitis B. So I went and I did a lot of blood tests and everything. Baruch Hashem, I was okay. I am. Baruch Hashem. But I said to myself, how many times did I do Brit? And I didn't even know what disease the person has. Here I asked, so I knew. Chazal tell us, a person doesn't know how many times Hashem saves him during the day. I was on a bus. My wife was on a bus. A half a year ago. And suddenly policemen get up and grab an Arab on the bus and they hold him tight and take him off the bus. She was on a bus with an Arab with a bomb. She didn't even know. She's sitting a few seats away with all the kids. And the police knew that there was a... They got up, they found a way to get on the bus behind them, grabbed him, and were able to take him off the bus. And it didn't make the news. They didn't want to scare people. They didn't tell anyone. But my wife was there. They grabbed him, held him, and were able to take him off the bus, and nothing happened. How many times? We don't know how many times we're saved. We don't know. Hashem is Magen. That's the first...
Y había un árabe con una bomba dentro del autobús y la policía entró para salir a barro y se le llevaban al autobús. Como que él dice, nunca sabe cuántas veces ya empezaron el día y te protege.
So the first blessing we say, Hashem is Magen. Magen is protecting. Before things come to us, we don't even know how many things Hashem does. And Hashem protects us. Baruch Ata, Hashem Magen Avraham. Blessed is Hashem who protects Avraham. If Hashem didn't protect us, oh, so that's a special because Avraham is special. Avraham is the beginning, and even we get it in the merit of Avraham. Avraham was the one who started the whole process. So we say Hashem is Magen, Hashem protects Avraham, and in Avraham's chut, and in Avraham's merit, Hashem also protects us. Then we go into Gvuhot. Ata Gibor. Hashem is Gibor, strong, mighty, brave, yeah. Lolan Hashem. Hashem's Gvura is eternal. We, very, very often a person stands up for a minute. You know, a guy has a minute of bravery. Then there's bravery for a long time. Hashem's bravery is eternal. Mechaye mitim ata, Hashem brings back the dead. When does Hashem bring back the dead? So we have a miniature of it every morning. Every morning that we wake up, Chazal say when we sleep, it's 1/60th of death. So every day we have a miniature. And this is also a concept. Now, before we continue, we have to know a concept. And Sheikh Nesta Gdola instituted 18 blessings. Within these 18 blessings, they worded, they used words that could encompass anything a person will need, anytime, anywhere. Anytime a person needs something, if he looks in the blessings of Shmona Esrei, it is addressed. There's no need. There's never a situation that a person needs something and that need is not in the Shmona Esrei. That's why they need to be prophets. Because they wrote the words of Shmona Esrei so that they will cover everything a person ever... Now, we have to know...
Wasn't this was wrote by Ezra?
Ezra and his Anshei Knesset HaGdola together with Haggai, Zechariah and Malachi, who were prophets. They needed prophets. Because the words over here cover everything a person would ever need. What is Mechaye Mitim? So, Mechaye Mitim, we understand, brings back from the dead. What is a Met? Dead. So Chazal say, Met is not only dead. Met, what is life? So there are levels in life. What did Haman HaRasha want to do to us? Haman wanted Lashmid. What does Lashmid mean? To ruin the religion. We stopped being Jewish. La'rog, to kill. What is Labid? Labid? To wipe out? To burn the bodies. There should be no remembrance. Ush la'lam la'voz, and to take all the wealth. And corresponding to his four decrees, we have four mitzvot on Purim. He said la'shmid, to take away the religion, so we add to the religion. We have one more mitzvah, we read Megillah Purim. He said la'rog, to kill, so we add to life. How do we add to life? We're happy. Life is not only measured by is he breathing, is he alive, or is he dead? Life is measured on different levels. Happiness is an extension, it's a bigger life. Sadness is a little bit dead. Sleep is a little bit dead. Chazal said, Alba Chashuvim Kimet. There are four that are considered like they're dead. Do you know what they are? One, a person who's blind. A person who's blind is considered like he's dead. Two, a person who doesn't have children. Three, a person who has no money. And four, a person who has certain diseases.
Four,
a person who has tzara'at. A person who has tzara'at. A person who has leprosy. The white, that his whole body becomes white, he's like he's dead. So these are four different ways in which a person, we say these are extensions of a person's life. A person's health. Person's children, a person's wealth, right? And a person's happiness. What do we say? Ani, suma, and what we see is a part of that. A person doesn't see anything. So that's so those are four that are like they're dead. When we say mechaye mitim, so it means simply, Hashem brings back the dead. But it also means that in every situation where a person's like he's dead, Hashem can give him life. There's never a situation where a person's finished. There's a story you guys heard of Trump, Donald Trump. So he wrote in his book that there was one time when all the real estate went down in New York. So he got a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning from the Chinese or the Japanese heads of Citibank. They told him, we want you to come down. We want to understand what security we have on our investment. We lent you so much money for the buildings. So he said it was 2 o'clock in the morning on a wintry night and he couldn't even catch a taxi and he walked out of one of the buildings he owned and he walked by a beggar on the street and he looked at him and he thought, he doesn't know it, but he's richer than I am because I'm in debt. If I don't succeed now, I'm in debt. Hundreds of millions of dollars. He doesn't have anything, but he's at zero. I'm at minus a few hundred million dollars. That's where he was at that time of his life. So he said, sometimes a person's all the way down. Chazal tell us, a person can never give up. Hashem is mechayem metim. Even the dead Hashem brings back. Certainly a situation, any other situation. I once had a friend when we were in high school. He lost his father when he was 3, and he had no family. They didn't own the house they were living in. They were renting an apartment, and his mother was diagnosed with cancer. And she went through treatment after treatment after treatment. And when we were in 9th grade, the doctors told her she has 6 months to live. And over 6 months. They said they already operated, they took out, they did chemo, nothing worked. A brain tumor, 6 months to go. So the guy was exceptionally happy, him and his mother. They said they're going to take these last 6 months, make the best of it. And I always daven for her. And he, at some point someone asked me, how do you daven? There's no cure. What are you davening for? So Chazal tell us, afilu cherev chadam munachat ad tzavaro shel adam. Even if there's a sharp sword on someone's throat, the sword is there, it's sharp. All it needs is the pressure to go down. Al yimna atzmo min harachamim. A person should never give up. David HaMelech was once in the middle of a war, and one of the giants, Goliath's brothers, said, I'm going to kill you. He grabbed David, threw him up, and put down his sword like this, so that David would land on the sword. So David is heading down towards the sword. There's nothing left. What's going to happen now? It's all over, right? Chazal said, that moment, David started davening. And a bird had gone. Yoav, his cousin, was in the middle of a shower. And the bird came and started flapping and flapping and flapping by Yoav's shower. So Yoav said, wait a second. Bird, dove, that's the Jewish people. There's trouble. He turned to Hashem. He said, Hashem, I understand there's trouble. I have to go. He said one of the secret names of Hashem. And he jumped over to where David was. And he jumps up and he catches David in there. And he says, David, what's wrong with you? David says, Hashem said, because I sinned, either I will die, or my children will have trouble. My children in a future generation will die. So I said to Hashem, better me than my children. Yoav said, you're wrong. No. You worry about yourself and let your children worry about themselves. Their job is to do tshuva. They have to be tzadikim. They'll protect themselves. Tell Hashem to turn it around. So David says, Hashem, okay. Yoav says, I'm wrong. So Hashem turns it around, and then Yoav saves him from that. So then and there, Chazal said, at that moment, David taught a very important lesson. Even at a time when a person is on the verge of death, David was seconds away. He was supposed to fall down on that sword. And this giant, if he could throw him up into the air, he could easily kill him. But he didn't stop davening. From there we learn, a person never stops davening. David had a great, 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 great grandson, Chizkiyahu HaMelech. When Chizkiyahu was young, he saw a vision. He saw that his children would serve idols, they'd be bad people. So he said, I don't want to get married. He saw that he would have a son named Menashe, who would be a murderer, and then he would cause the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And he was right, that's what happened. So Chizkiyahu didn't want to get married. So Hashem said to his cousin, the Navi Yeshaya, Azeiah, he said to him, go to Chizkiyahu and tell him you're going to die, and you're not even coming to the world to come. So Yeshaya comes to Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was sick in bed. Yeshaya comes to him and he says, God sent me to tell you, you're dying. You're sick in bed, you're not going to get better. You're dying and you're not going to get the world to come. So Chizkiyahu said, I don't understand. I was pious my whole life. I kept mitzvot. I brought the Jews back to tshuva. I gave shiurim. I'm going to die. I'm not going to live in the world to come. So Yeshaya said, you didn't get married. Why didn't you get married? You don't have kids. God gave you a mitzvah to get married. Why don't you get married? So Chizkiyahu said, because I saw that I'd have children that would be bad for the Jewish people. So I gave up my life. I said, I'm not going to get married. I want to save the Jewish people. So Yeshaya said to him, that's not your business. You have a mitzvah to get married. You get married. And then the rest is the God's business. So Chizkiyah said, okay Yeshaya, you have a good daughter. Let me marry your daughter. Maybe in your merit and my merit, the kids will turn out good. So Yeshaya said to him, I just told you you're dying. What do you mean you want to marry my daughter? It's over. So Chizkiyah said to him, Ben Amos. Yeshaya was the son of Amos. His father's name was Amos. Finish what you have to say and leave. You have any more prophecy? So Yeshaya said, no. So he said, now you could go out. I have a tradition from our great-great-grandfather, from David HaMelech. Even when the sword is on someone's throat, He doesn't stop davening, and now I have to daven. And he turned his face to the wall, and he started davening. Yeshaya left the house. Now think about it. Chizkiah had a disease that no one in world history was ever cured from. Our sages say, but he had the type of disease he had. Some want to say it was cancer, but we don't know what he had. The type of disease he had, no one in the world before him was ever cured from it. And the prophet walked in and said to him, God just said you're dying. It's over. God says, call in the family, say who's going to take over the throne, it's over. The prophet says, God said he's dead. Nature and the doctor say he's dead. Chizkiah turns to the wall and prays. Why is he praying? Because he has this tradition from David. And Chizkiah prayed, and Hashem added more than 20 years to his life. And Chizkiah did marry Yeshaya's daughter. And he had a son, Menashe, who was a murderer, but then Menashe did tshuva. Menashe and became a pious person. So, this concept, even when the doctor says it's over, even when the prophet says it's over, it's not over. Hashem says you could always daven. So that's what I told people when they asked me, why are you praying for this lady? It's over, the doctors say there's 6 months left. She lived till past graduation. She lived the next 4 years. 5.5 years later, she passed away. Even though the doctors thought she didn't have a chance, we prayed, and Baruch Hashem, Hashem let him grow up old enough that he could take care of himself. And when we say Mechayim Metim, so we have to know that Metim isn't just about the future. It's the way Moshe said, you're right, it's about the future, Hashem will bring back the dead, but it's also about the present. Even people, we think it's over, it's not over. Hashem is Mechayim Metim, even now. So, Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll continue next time.